This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
KMOX News has been covering the outbreak of parvo at the St. Louis County Animal Shelter. We wanted to get more information for you about what parvo is and whether other animals in the region could be at risk. I spoke with Dr. Leah Cohn, professor of veterinary medicine and surgery at the University of Missouri College of Veterinary Medicine, for more on the deadly viral infection.
There are actually parvoviruses that infect cats as well as dogs. But we're talking about the canine infection, which is a bit unique, although it may have come from the feline infection. So it's a viral infection that predominantly causes gastrointestinal disease, but there are a lot of complications associated with it, and some of those fall outside of the GI tract.
I know it's been around for decades. Why does it still seem to be such a deadly virus for dogs?
So it emerged on the scene in 1979. And it wasn't too terribly many years after that that we developed a vaccine for parvovirus, which is quite effective. It reduces the risks of dogs developing infection and reduces the risks of dogs having serious complications. But the problem is that dogs can't get the vaccine until they are over their maternal immunity. In other words, the mother has antibodies to help protect against parvovirus, but those wear off, and they wear off at a time that isn't always predictable. It's going to be somewhere between about 7 weeks of age and 16 weeks of age, but we don't know exactly when it's going to happen. That's why puppies get a whole series of vaccinations that start around that age of 6 to 8 weeks. And then every 3 to 4 weeks, they get another one and another one and another one until they're past the 16 or 18 week age, because the vaccine is not going to work until after maternal immunity wears off. That means there's always going to be a period of susceptibility for dogs, even when they're vaccinated. And dogs that aren't vaccinated after their maternal immunity wears off, they are left completely vulnerable to parvovirus.
Has there been much modern research about parvovirus?
There's been an awful lot of research. As I mentioned, we didn't even have this disease until 1979, so it's not something that's been around for centuries and centuries and centuries. So all of the research is relatively new. The biggest news recently is that as of just 1 year ago, there's now a monoclonal antibody that is available to treat dogs with parvoviral infection. So this is a brand new form of treatment. There are only 5 monoclonal antibody treatments approved in all of veterinary medicine, and this is one of the 5. So it's given by injection, a single injection, to dogs that are newly diagnosed with parvovirus. And what it does is it helps the virus not spread from cell to cell to cell. So it's best used as early as possible in the course of the infection. If they're already suffering severe consequences, it's kind of like closing the gate after the horse is out of the barn. So we want to use it as early as possible. But this is a brand new treatment option, literally, that just became available this last year.
if a dog does get parvovirus, talk about how rapidly it can spread among other dogs.
It is a highly contagious virus. It spreads quite rapidly. There's fecal transmission from one animal to another, but it isn't just feces itself. It's contamination of the virus. And that can be carried on fomites, which could include clothing or shoes, the bottom of your shoes. If you walk through an area where you get parvovirus on your shoes, you could transfer the shoes to another area. This is really important where dogs interact in a more dense environment. So, for instance, animal shelters, and many, many dogs are young, unvaccinated puppies when they enter animal shelters, or they're poorly vaccinated altogether in animal shelters. But it also can happen in environments like dog parks or doggy daycares or boarding kennels. Again, usually when there are other animals that are incompletely vaccinated that can spread the infection. But it spread very readily through the virus being quite stable. It's hard to kill this virus when it gets out into the environment. Some viruses don't stick around for very long. They desiccate, dry out. They become non-contagious very, very quickly after leaving an animal's body. Like feline leukemia virus is a great example of that. Feline leukemia virus is not likely to be spread unless cats interact very, very directly with each other, like grooming each other. That's not at all the case for parvovirus. When parvovirus leaves the dog's body, generally through the feces, it stays around in the environment. It is very, very, very hard to kill the parvovirus.
So I would imagine that if there is a contained environment, like a shelter or a kennel environment, that it would be very dangerous and very hard to eradicate.
That is very, very true. It's very difficult to get rid of the virus in those environments. One of the best things that can be done in a shelter environment is to limit the intake and limit the time that unprotected dogs spend in the environment. So, for instance, if there's a litter of puppies that's being given up by someone that can't keep them, if there's a way to put those puppies in a foster care situation rather than admit them to the shelter with all of the other dogs, that's going to be much, much, much safer for those puppies. So foster care has become a really important part of shelter medicine to help reduce the risk of these very dangerous, contagious, infectious diseases for dogs. But if they have to be housed in a shelter environment with other animals, it is risky.
That is Dr. Leah Cohn, professor of veterinary medicine and surgery at the University of Missouri College of Veterinary Medicine.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.